You're listening to 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, and today I have a very special guest from Sweet Sounds of Praise, Mr. Jerry Green. How you doing, sir?
Hey, my brother. God bless you. How you doing, Jose?
I'm doing great. Let's get into it. Where are you from, Jerry?
Well, actually, I was actually born in Philadelphia back in 1955. I'll give my age, 69 years old. God has truly blessed me, but I was raised in New Haven, Connecticut. So my mother and father, that's all I know is New Haven. So, but I was born in Philly, raised in New Haven. So I'm a New Haven guy.
Tell me a little bit about your dad.
Well, my dad, he was an entrepreneur. We had one of the biggest record stores back in the early 60s, and we closed in 77, you know, due to the, had some hard times, but it was called B&L Record Shop. A lot of great people came through there. My uncle that just passed away, James Jazzy Jordan, he was my uncle. Jazzy worked at the store. Robert Dewberry, he was alumni from WYBC, the Juice Jam, he worked there. My brother Henry, Grace Chambers. We had a lot of people that came through B&L. But at that time, we was the only one, the biggest R&B retail record store in the state of Connecticut. So on Dixwell Avenue, at that time, Dixwell was booming. It was all the black businesses on Dixwell, Tommy and Kelly's, the Monterey, the Soundtrack. I can go on and on. A lot of entrepreneurs. Daryl Huckabee's father, Unique Boutique, that was on Dixwell Avenue. So Dixwell was really booming at that time in the 60s and in the late 70s. So that's why I got into music, because I started at the age of 8 years old in the music business, and my dad, you know, me and my brother and my dad really put that music in us. So that's how I got into music, and from that point on, that's all I know.
What kind of ethic did you get from your father? What did he display?
Work ethic. And he was the type of person that believed in having your own. Okay? I mean, being an entrepreneur, but always striving to have your own. You know, like I said, you know, being I've been on all the radio stations in this area, but the one I'm most proud of had my own station because I was raised that way. You know, like right now we're talking about television, have my own television channel because I was raised to have your own. I was a part of CTV and other stations, but to have your own, you can do what you want to do, your own sports show, your own talk shows, whatever you want to do is yours because, you know, you put that work into it. So I'm very happy and excited. And my dad passed in 2007, so he never got a chance to see me with my own radio station, my own television station. But like it says, the apple don't fall far from the tree. So his guidance and his teaching, and my mother, I give her credit too. She's still alive, 96 years old, down in Cheraw, South Carolina. And my mom, she had a stroke about 4 years ago, but she's doing good, you know, but both of them put that work ethic in me, you know, to be the person who I am today.
Tell me a little story about
my wife. I give my wife credit too. I've been married for 39 years. She's my rib. You know, she's the one that's right there beside me in everything I do. So yes, family structure.
Tell me a little story about you and your mom growing up.
Well, my mother was the type, you know, because my father was the type that work. And my mother gave us the balance, you know, let me play Little League Baseball, you know, let me be in the Boys Club and the Cub Scouts, you know, things that my father didn't really want us to do because he just wants to work. So she gave me an opportunity to have balance in life, learn how to be a team player, things like that. You know, cause like I said, my father was more working. He was more making money and working. And he put that in me. And my mother put the other side of me where, you know, how to work with people, you know, and be the best you can in what you do. Mm. Yeah. But so we have a great relationship to this day here.
What kind of music were you into at 8 years old? Man. Tell me.
I mean, R&B. I mean, it wasn't an artist back then. That I get my brother, Robert Dewberry, Jazzy Jordan, Grace, one of my late friends, Linwood Dixon, who passed away. He was a legend in New Haven. But when it came to music, we knew the music. I mean, it wasn't an artist back then. I haven't met. I tell this story. I was telling Pastor Dollar Morris this one time, because you ever came to my office, I got all these pictures of all these celebrities I met in gospel. Okay? And I told the story because when I was a kid, I met like James Brown. You ever heard of Billy Stewart? I met Billy Stewart. I met Wilson Pickett. I met the Temptations, the Delphonics, the Five Stair Steps. I don't have no pictures to show for it. None. No pictures at all to show for any of them artists or the groups I met. And I said to myself, once I got in the gospel and God blessed me to be in the same position, I'm going to take pictures because it's legacy. That you're leaving a legacy. Now, like my grandkids, when I'm dead and gone, they can say, man, I didn't know Pop-Pop met Kirk Franklin and Hezekiah Walker and Mary Mary and Donald Lawrence and Smokey Norfolk and Donnie McClurkin. You know what I'm saying? So it would have been the same way. Could you imagine David Ruffins and the Eddie Kendricks and the Earth, Wind & Fires that I met? I have no picture to show for it.
Let's go back a little bit when your teenage years in New Haven, because sometimes the lure of the street is there.
Right.
You know, we have some valleys in our life that we go through. What kept you, you know, sound? And was it your upbringing, the good foundation that kept you on the straight and narrow?
I would have to say yes. My dad was very strict. Me and him is like night and day, you know, when it comes to our personalities. But yes, he was very strict with us. He told me and my brother, because I got two sisters as well that's younger than me, if you ever go to jail, I'm not getting you out. Stern, straightforward. If you go to jail, do not call this house. I'm not getting you out. So every time, you know, if any type of thing came into my life that wasn't good and jail was involved, I went the other way because I knew my dad, the kind of person he was, and he meant it. And I was the type of kid, I was rebellious a few times, and I was on punishments. He wasn't the type to beat you with a belt. You'd be on a long punishment. I might be in my room for maybe 30 days, right? If my grades wasn't the way he wanted to be, you're on punishment. That's how he was. If I got a couple Fs, you're on punishment till your grades get better. And that hurt me more than anything because, you know, I was the type of guy who wanted to go out, see the Ohio players or Cool in the Gang. I remember this one night, I'll never forget. It was on a Friday night. Cool in the Gang was going to be at UNH back in the early 70s. And I skipped school. I skipped class. And my housemaster from Lehigh called my father and told him I skipped class. I mean, I was all ready to go see Kool & the Gang, have my outfit. My father said, you ain't going nowhere tonight. You on punishment. And I was like, oh, man, that's the kind of father I had. He was real strict. He was like the Joe Jackson type of father that was really strict. But the same token, when I look back at it now, you know, he was, because I'm basically almost a similar tough love type guy. You know, I mean, but the answer to your question, that's how I was raised like that. But it helped. It worked out. Mm. And being in New Haven, growing up in New Haven, it was always rough. It was always hard times in New Haven. I was raised on Dixwell Avenue, lived in the Hill section. So I knew both sides of town. And it was rough back in the 60s and 70s. But it's the choices you make in life, too. You got to make right choices.
What advice would you have for an individual that's out there right now listening, who's got the, you know, because the times have changed, but the choices are still there.
Choices are there? Well, I mean, I got a lot of nephews and nieces and kids, and I tell them, you make your bed hard, you got to lay in that bed, man. So before you start, you know, when you start deciding what you want to do, you know, count the costs. Look at it thoroughly. I don't care if it's a relationship or a marriage or whatever you want to do. You know, I mean, count the costs. You know, if you know, it's like some people get married too young. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, if a person came to me and they was 18 years old, they want to get married, my first question would be, are you ready for marriage? I mean, because this is a commitment. Are you ready? See, I got married when I was 32, and I've been married for 39 years. I wasn't ready when I was 22. I mean, even though I had a daughter when I was 21, but I wasn't ready for marriage. So couldn't nobody talk me into getting married because I knew I wasn't ready. See what I'm saying? So those are choices I made in life. I'll give you another example. I worked at Pratt & Whitney Aircraft for 42 years, which a lot of people didn't know. So 42 years at Pratt & Whitney after being closed. Now I had choices. I did radio during the on the weekends. I had my own business on Whaley Avenue that my wife ran during the day. And when I got off work, I came to the store. All right. But I could easily back then, you know, my ego could have said, oh man, you know, I could quit Pratt and I can work at my store full time. That's ego speaking. But reality was, look, you got a pension coming, you got medical that's already paid, you know, I mean, you got a check coming every Thursday, you know, where everything is going good. So choices you make in life that sometimes at the end, you look back and say, that was a good choice I made.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Canelario. We're listening to the wise words and wonderful life of Mr. Jerry Green. Talk a little bit about the store. How did that come about? Is it because your dad had one that inspired you to get one too?
No, actually, my wife, she wanted a retail store because I was done with retail. She wanted a store because she wanted a clothing store, a boutique. And I said, oh, my God, I'm not into clothes. I'm not into it like that. She wanted it. She has a very friendly personality that people loved. And so I seen that gift in her. But I told her, I said, okay, now if I go into retail, I know music. And I know there's a void for gospel music, you know, in here. So you do the clothes, I'll do the gospel. And together, it was called Jerry Green's Gospel Music Shop and Doreen's Fashions. So together, we'll build something. So you do the clothing part, I'll do the music. And it worked out good until people started downloading music and all that kind of stuff. So we got out the right time at that time. But that's how I got into to the retail, back into the retail side of business like that.
Mm.
You know,
how was it running the store and as an entrepreneur? And what lessons did it teach you?
Well, it taught me that, you know, if you put the work in it, you can make anything work. Because if I really would have, like I said, put the work in it full time, it probably would have lasted longer. It's just like I said, I was comfortable because, you know, when you got a big check coming in every Thursday and you ain't got to work too hard to get it, you know, it makes it easier. Because, you know, then I was still doing, then I started doing YBC. You know, everything was going good. So, you know, I mean, it was going good. And it was more for, like, for my wife. It was a job she had. It was her full-time job, which it helped our family because she got paid, you know, doing what she wanted to do. And my thing was just making it supporting her, supporting what she wanted, her dreams.
How was, we talk about the advent of technology and the changes it brings about. People started downloading.
People download music now, man. I don't even know how these artists even make money now, to be honest. You know, because back in the day with the CDs and the LPs and, you know, I mean, you can see. I don't even know how. Because people now, you can take a song and you can give it to 25 people you want to just by sending it to them. You know, I don't even know how artists even make money. You know, I know they can go to Apple and iTunes and things like that, but that's a whole different ball game for me, like now.
Distribution. Yeah. But what is old is new because now kids are buying vinyls again. How do you feel about that? kids got wax at a Walmart and Target now.
Wow, I didn't know that. Okay. Well, I mean, it always said, well, it comes back around. So, you know, I mean, vinyls, wow. I still got a lot of vinyls at my house that I'm trying to get rid of. And CDs. You know, somebody texted me last week and said, I got all these CDs. You can have them if you want them. I got enough myself. I'm trying to get rid of them. I don't play CDs no more. You know, like I said, technology, man, it just blew over, man.
Mm. Technology shifts the businesses.
Yeah.
Pratt and Whitney for 41 years.
Yeah,
42
years.
42 years. I don't know if you know Bernard Huckabee.
Yeah.
He just retired himself.
Okay, yeah.
Well, how was that community at Pratt & Whitney? Because so many people from our community worked there.
Oh, it was great. I mean, I got to say that Pratt & Whitney took care of a lot of our people. You know, they got good pensions at the end. You know, it was a good job. I mean, you know, and it's manufacturing. So, you know, that's what we need back in New Haven too, manufacturing, to give our kids something to do, you know. But and I had a special job at Pratt. When I was telling a friend of mine's last week when I worked at Pratt had a thing called the ACE. It was Achieving Competitive Excellence. That was the operating system that Pratt Whitney used for their customers to bring them in. The Air Force, the Army, the Navy, all of them used to come in, you know, with contracts. So when you're world class, that means you're the best. So I was, and so Pratt started a thing called ACE. I was an ACE pilot for my unit, and I was the only African American ACE pilot, and it was six units in East Hartford, and mine was the coding unit. So we had to go from qualifying to bronze to silver to gold. Once you become a gold, you're world class. I was the first ACE pilot to get ACE gold. The first one out of all the pilots there, the first one to get ACE gold. And I got my son working at Pratt too. He's at Pratt, all right? But I'm just saying, I was more proud of that when I retired. Because now, I don't know which direction Pratt going now, but when we was there, and it was very competitive too among the units. Which one going to be the first one? Just like playing in sports. Which one is going to be the first one to get it? So that's how competitive it was. Mm. We helped each other, but the same token, we wanted to be that first one. I was the first one to get ACE gold.
After 41 years, you decide to retire.
I retired. Well, I got sick too. I had some health issues. You know, I was diagnosed in 2021 with prostate cancer. Then God healed me from that. Then in 2023, I had a major surgery for colon cancer. And God healed me from that as well. You know, I still have little issues. They want me to do sometimes MRIs and CAT scans to make sure everything is good. But I'm a man of faith, and I just keep my faith in God. But, you know, that's one of the reasons why I retired as well, because, you know, with the health issues that was starting to develop.
What can you say about, we could talk a little bit about cancer as a survivor. Yeah.
Well, I would tell everyone, definitely, especially for a prostate, to go get checked out. You know, that's how mine was discovered. You know, because I go to the doctor at least five times a year. And I've been going to the same doctor for 25 years. And he just happened one day, said to me, your PSA is high. I didn't know what a PSA was. Never even heard of one. And he said, yeah, it's high. Then he asked me, anybody in my family had cancer? I said, well, my dad, he had cancer. But I didn't know he had prostate till later on. My sister told me. But that's when I went and got checked out, had a biopsy, and they discovered it was cancer in the prostate. But if it wasn't for that, me going to get checked, it could have got worse. It could have spread. Now, the colon was different. I should have went for a colonoscopy the second time I should have went. I went the first time. They told me to come back, which I didn't do. And then they discovered I had colon cancer later on, but that was over a year ago, going on 2 years ago. But I would tell anybody, just get yourself checked out and start eating right, try to keep your weight down and things like that, you know, and put your trust in God. God's our only source, man. God's our only source.
There's a battle when you have cancer. There's treatments and stuff, and you have to endure a lot, and you're really stripped of your essence.
Yes.
How was that process for you, and did you learn anything, or did you gain more strength in who you are?
Well, you know, dealing with when you hear the word cancer, it brings fear, first of all, because we know everybody know people that died of cancer. So it's always going to bring fear, and also it's more mentally. Because it's more of a mental battle than physical battle. Because, you know, like especially if you got to go for an MRI, you don't know what to expect, you know, with the results or a CAT scan. So it's more always mentally you got to deal with, you know, than the physical part. That's just something you got to deal with, you know, but it's more mentally you got to deal with it. But, you know, you got to be strong. Whatever you do in this life, man, you got to be strong. That's why it's a good, have a good family foundation. Find things to do. That's why you're talking about doing sports. And I got so many things I do to keep my mind occupied. So my mind can't be worrying about this or worrying about that, because I'm always doing something to keep myself active and keep my mind busy. Mm. So it don't give the enemy no opportunity, you know, the mind bog your mind on certain things.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. These are the words of Jerry Green from Sweet Sounds of Praise here on YBC, and also on the web. I mean, you can find them almost anywhere right now. I'm Jose Candelario, enjoying the conversation here. So you battle cancer, you come out on the other side. You're occupying your time with these distractions. And let's start with one of my favorite ventures, Gospel Fest.
Okay.
How did that come about?
Well, but actually, Pastor Donald Morris and Apostle Eugene Brunson from Wayfair Ministries, Apostle Brunson, he's the chairman, and Pastor Donald, he's the, I think, the president of the Christian Community Commission. That's how it came about. And Pastor Donald and myself were good friends. You know, when he first started, he called me. I was at another radio station. He called me and asked me to be a part of the board for the part of bringing entertainment in. I said, sure. I mean, because it was good for the city. Still good for the city. You know, give us something to do. You know, the churches and the community. You know, a nice peaceful weekend, bringing major artists that some people can't afford to even go pay to see. It's free at the park. So that's something that we look forward to doing every year. You know, even next year, we're looking forward to doing another big gospel fest.
Every year, lots of vendors.
But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work behind the scene. The only thing that we ask from the community, just be supportive of it and don't take things for granted, because what's here today could be gone tomorrow. And sometimes, you know, we take things for granted. We expect things to be there, and it don't always be like that. We can look at the future, the history of a lot of events we had in our city that's gone. You know, then you look back and say, I should have supported it more. I should have been more out there, more active, involved. You know, so get involved in what we're doing, and, you know, just come out and support, especially the churches, you know, the pastors. Come out and support.
And what people sometimes get mistaken is that these events, like Gospel Fest, people don't get rich off of this. This is not something you get rich off, you know, that all the money is going to go to these guys, because there's so much cost involved over the years, and it gets more expensive to put these things on.
Because the artists cost money. Everything costs money. Nothing is free. Everything costs money. You know, and that's why, you know, we use the word faith. We walk by faith, because if it wasn't for faith in God, these things wouldn't happen, man. You know, because, you know, you get sponsors that help out, you know, but you got to believe God for the sponsors, you know, the ones that's willing to put the money up. But the same token, you know, we want people just to appreciate what's going on in our city, you know, especially, you know, our people. We got to support. We got to support, man. You know? I mean, it's a blessing. Gospel Fest has been a blessing. That's why I applaud Pastor Donald Morris, Apostle Eugene Brunson, Donald's wife, First Lady Dee Dee, you know, and all the staff that's a part of the Christian Community Commission, because it's a lot of work that behind the scenes that people don't see, you know, that make that thing happen.
Tireless hours and
yes,
stuff.
It is.
Just for 2 days.
Yes.
For 2 days. Weather permitting.
Weather permitting. Right. That's all it takes. A storm, and that's it. Done.
Wow.
And it happened last year. We had a rain fest that came, and we still got the artists up, but it wasn't the event that we wanted it to be. Mm. And that's one thing that we can't control, the weather.
There you go. Gospel Fest every summer here at Gulf Street Park. It's going to be back at Gulf Street again?
At Gulf Street Park again, yeah.
Okay, all right. Right in your community, in your backyard. Bring a chair and some shade, a little umbrella. All right, so now let's get into your new ventures that you have. I mean, you're on YBC, Sweet Sounds of Praise. How did that start off, and how did it grow? It's a long time ago. I know you gotta dig back a little more.
No. I remember when Sweet Sounds of Praise started. Actually, it started for a half hour. A lady named Vivian Oliver, she started it way back probably in the early 80s, because I wasn't even in church. I was doing Spectrum 94. And Vivian Oliver started Sweet Sounds of Praise. I think they gave her a half hour on Sunday. Then they gave her an hour. Then it went from 6 to 12. From 6 to 12. Then I was at 1340 WNAC. When that station got brought out by WYBC, that's how I came over to Sweet Sounds of Praise. Then they came to me, because I was doing the AM side, because there was no room for the at that time for the FM. A young man, I can't think of his name, from YBC, part of the G board, came to me and asked me, would I be willing to come on 3:00 on a Sunday? At that time, it was just going off at 12. He said, I said, I'm not doing 12 to 3 because I got to go to church. He said, if we can get somebody to do 12 to 3, would you be willing to do 3 to 6? I said, sure. That's how then we expanded from 6 in the morning all the way to 6. I was doing 3 to 6. Then Juan took over after that. Juan became the program director for Sweet Sounds of Praise. Then at that time, then my time was up. You know, it was a 4-year rule. Then I came back later on under Juan. But yeah, that's how Sweet Sounds of Praise started. And as you know, I do the music for Sweet Sounds of Praise. Been doing that for the last 15 years working with Juan. So yes, I'm a big part of Sweet Sounds of Praise. You know, love it because you know people need encouragement. Our people need encouragement. You know, people are, you know, doing suicides and drugs and all this stuff. We just try to give them some music for life. You know, something that they can, if it makes somebody feel good, that's what we want to do. And I try to pick the right songs. You know, the right songs I know, yeah, I know they're going to like this song. Because that goes back to my roots in music. Like I tell you, go all the way back. You know, so you got a good ear for music.
Now, music has evolved. Gospel music has evolved since back then. I mean, we're from, you know, the classic hymnals now is more.
Let me tell you a fast story.
When did it change? But go ahead.
Okay, we got a few minutes. I took a beating in the 90s because there was a show called Music for Life on Saturday mornings on WNAC. I was doing that show from 5 to 10 every Saturday. It started with Jeff Grant, and he moved on, and he gave me the show. I ushered in, because at that time, I'm talking about the early 90s, when BB and CC Winans, The Sounds of Blackness, Take Six, Commission, Helen Baylor, Vanessa Bell Armstrong, then the Winans came on board, all right? I ushered in all that music that Kirk Franklin finally in, I think, 96, he came around, The Reason Why I Sing. Jay, what are you playing? That's not no gospel. That ain't no gospel. But Saturday mornings was set up for that. We set that show up for Saturday for urban contemporary and contemporary music. Then I still threw in my traditional because I wanted to bring it in slowly. But I took a beating. But now, then gospel hip hop came on the scene. Now look at it now. Oh, yes. Yeah. So somebody has to pioneer this. You know, they got to bring that music in. And I'll never forget, I always get all kind of phone calls. You ain't playing no gospel. Who's this Winans? That's a group out of Detroit. You know, the Winans Brothers. Mm-hmm. That was discovered by Andre Crouch. I was even given the history of the group's commission founded by Fred Hammond. You know, given the, so people, even Fred to this day, remember, I was doing interviews with them artists back then, the Dietrich Haddons and all them, interviews back then, bringing them in. Because there was young artists coming up. Oh yeah, so I mean, somebody got to pioneer this music again. Yes.
What now? That was a big change in the 90s, yes, for gospel music. Has there been another turn in recent history, or do you think that was the pivotal moment in gospel to really reach a younger crowd?
I think the music is still changing because the generation is younger now. You know, like me, I'm 69 years old, so I don't expect a generation. You know, I mean, these young kids, they're different. So their music is different. The sound is different. So like I said, you know, me, but the 90s was big for the contemporary and urban contemporary sound like that. But yeah, but music is always going to change. It's always going to evolve. I got my phone on vibrate though. Well, go ahead. We good.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and we are talking to Jerry Green. So do you see like trap gospel music, or do you think that's too extreme for gospel?
No, I think gospel music will always, you know, the message is there. As long as the message is about Jesus Christ, because that's what gospel is all about, the good news. And long as they can keep the message there, you know, because, you know, things are changing, so we got to go with the change. But God never changed. Jesus never changed. So long as the message is there, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, because like I said, pastors are young now. I mean, this is a young generation now. You know, I mean, the old heads are gone. We're moving on. So we got to move on and let the younger generation do what they do. You know, So I think gospel is always going to be, going to get better, matter of fact.
Keeping gospel on the radio in this day and age, most stations have abandoned gospel altogether or give it a small, minute. How important is it that YBC does what it does with gospel in such a large format?
The music. The music, to me, music is everything. Music is, I don't care if you're doing R&B. The music, people want to hear music. And you give them good music, right? If the music is good and you could touch their souls, you're always going to be recognize. because everybody loves music. Even God loves music. Music started heaven. So you give them good music, but it got to be good music. It got to be good. I mean, even people come to me with their music. If it ain't good enough, I mean, I'm sorry, brother. It's not a personal thing. You know, we're talking about, you know, people that, you know, we're trying to reach. So, I mean, you know, no, the gospel is always going to be there.
That is exactly what I'm talking about. Music and the way it's changing over time. You have evolved with it. Now you're on the internet also. What's the website?
Well, I got my own station, the WJRG Internet Radio. It's a gospel station, 24 hours a day. I've been doing that now for like 6 years. With gospel music, get a chance to do interviews with artists, and you know, just do what I want to do. Like I said, we do sports and things like that. But you know, I've always been the type of person, Jose, like I told you, you know, where you know you got to have fun doing what you're doing. You know, mm-hmm. Life goes by too fast. You know, and dealing with, like I said, with the health issues I dealt with. You know, I enjoy every moment that I can enjoy in my lifetime. You know, and having your own station or your own business, whatever you're doing, it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
You're on Roku TV now also with a couple other church members. What's the channel?
I got my own television network, WJRG Television Network. So we're on the Roku channel. We're on Roku, Fire Stick. We're on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, and one other one. But yeah, then you can download the free app. We have an app. Go to the Apple Store. Just put in KMI so you can watch us on television like that. Yeah. God is truly blessed, man. God is truly blessed. I give God all the glory, Jose, for everything God is doing in my life to be a part of WYBC. Juan gave me a celebration back in 2016, you know, in North Haven. Juan told me I was the only one in YBC he did that for, but that was God. You know, God used Juan, you know, to make that happen. I'm appreciative to all the blessings that came my way, you know, but I put the work in too. I put the work in.
Yes, you do. Yes.
So my man Juan, you give Juan a shout out too, because, you know, Juan Castillo, you know, we go way back as well. So the electric drum, and we go way back. I remember when electric drum first started too. So I was on YBC, man, back with Bill Christmas. I was back there back in the early 80s. So I remember when all this started, man. You know, and I'll tell you a story. My father was the one, him and a guy named Willie Wright, was the ones that got YBC playing black music back when B&L. Because B&L was the one that was supplying the music back when it was Soul Session with Catman, Smokey, The Ram, Robert DeBerry, Woody, back in the early 70s. B&L Record Shop, my dad and Willie Wright put together a letter, went to the G board, but Willie Wright was the first one that started black music on WYBC. Mm. Then came in Soul Session, all right, and B&L was the one that was supplying all the black music for WYBC. It was like a trade off. Mm-hmm. You know, we supplied the music, we got the free plugs. You know, like that's how my father had it worked out. And now that's why I look at it. I'm a part of a legacy that my father and them helped start it too. See, it was all divine by God. I look at everything is a purpose by God.
Vision. I mean, it's hard to see the next thing or to push the next thing, but that's what you've been a part of. You saw something that was good for the community and you push for it. Right. And you're always open to learning something new, which this generation doesn't even want to be told what to do. How do you keep up with everything, with technology, with music, and still stay young?
Well, I just love what word I want to use. I just love to be a part of something that can change things. You know, I mean, meaning that when I look at my legacy at the end, and like I told you, you know, it could be any time. You never know how life turns. So you're gonna leave a legacy behind. I want people to say that Jerry Green wasn't afraid to try certain things. You know, I did radio. I worked manufacturing. He was a dad. He was a husband. You know, he had his own business. He worked with his dad. See, my legacy can't be defined in one thing. You can't just say, well, he was just on WYBC. He was also on WNAC. He was also on WFIF. I was also on CTV, had my own gospel video show. He got his own television stage, got his own. So the Hollaback Awards, the Gospel Fest, there's a lot of things that I try to put my hands to do because I know it's going to make a difference in somebody's life. It's going to touch somebody. Even when I worked at WFIF, it was a Christian station. It was mainly a white audience, okay? And I played Christian music, black music, the BBCC. I knew how to put the music in there, but the same token, it was mainly a Christian station. And so that community loved Jerry Green too because I was a part of what they was doing. So I always wanted to venture on to different things. And even we talk sports now. I mean, he doesn't know anything about sports. Yeah, I watch sports. I want to show people you can be a Christian and still have fun. You ain't no guy got no baseball bat ready to knock you over the head. No, you can still have fun, enjoy your life, and have fun doing it too. Mm. So it's all legacy that we're going to leave behind one day. So I always try to, you know, strive for something better, take the level to another notch, you know, and do even better.
We face a deficit of people that are built to carry on the legacy. What message do you have for young people to get ready to take over some of these mantles? Because somebody's going to have to take over Gospel Fest. Someone's going to have to take over Jerry Green's, you know, empire. I mean,
right. Well, I try to tell my granddaughters, but they're in Charlotte. They live in Charlotte. I got one in New Haven, but she's a little baby. My thing is, but I want them to build their own legacy first, you know, because, you know, a lot of times it's hard to get people to do what you do. Okay. For example, if your dad had a restaurant, you know, you was in the restaurant all day, you might not want to be in the restaurant when you get older. You might want to be a lawyer. You might want to be or your dad had a barber. He was a barber. He wants you to be a barber. You might not want to be a barber. You might want to be, you know, something else. So I want you to decide what you want to do first. Mm. But whatever you want to do, be good at it. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you want to sweep the floor. Make sure that floor is swept clean. You want to make a hamburger, make the best hamburger you can make. Whatever you want, do what you want to do first. My thing is I will always guide you. And if you come to me, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you got to put the work in, but be the best what you want to be. My daughter, she's an actress. She has her own production company. And I stay out of that. I emcee maybe a couple times for her, but I stayed out of it because I want her to build her own thing. I don't want to say, you found your desk. No, build your own trailblazer like that. So that's what I'll tell my family. You know, you want to be a part of what I do, you're more than welcome. But it's going to be work. But I want you to do what you want to do.
Yeah, that's it. I'd like to ask a question if before we leave is, if you saw Jerry Green at 25, what message would you have for him?
Jerry Green at 25, I will say make the right choices in life. I always tell folks that all the time. Listen to the elders, you know, because they got a lot of wisdom. If someone tell you a piece of advice, you know, run with that advice. You know, I would tell a person, because I remember somebody told me one time when I was 25, if you want to be wise, hang around wise people. You want to be professional, hang around professionals. And that always stuck with me. You know, don't hang around with people, you know. And I remember I was telling my stepson this one time. I saw him one time in a group of guys, and he was in the back. So I stopped the whole group. And I said, what are you doing in the back? I mean, that let me know you're a follower. If you're not up front, then don't be in the group at all. Because now either you're a follower or you're a leader. All right? So those are the advice I would tell somebody that's young. You know, hang around professionals, be around people that can do something. Don't hang around the people that give you negativity all the time. You don't need them kind of folks because you're never going to achieve what you want to achieve because always negative. Hang around the people that can make your dream come reality.
You are listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario, and we are listening to the words of cancer survivor, pioneer, entrepreneur, local legend, Jerry Green, as he soaks in all the accolades.
Wow. All I can say is wow. That's all.
We're in our final minutes here. What words do you have to the New Haven community, to the public, that you would like to?
Well, what I would like to see for our community, you know, just to show love to one another. You know, life is too short. You know, with all the killing and violence that we take a place, taking a person's life, you know, and doing 60 years in jail is not worth it. You know, I mean, think about your choices, your action before you do something, you know, and show love. Show love to one towards another. You know, I remember when Juan interviewed me, Juan said, Jerry, don't nobody have nothing bad to say about you. I remember he said that to me, and I was like, well, Juan, I try not to treat people bad. That's why. I mean, if I got nothing good to say about you, I'm not going to say nothing. Because why? I mean, what am I going to get out of it by downing you? You know, if I can't help you to achieve what you want to achieve, downing you is not going to help. It ain't going to help me none. So I stay in my lane, do what I got to do. And my dad gave me another piece of advice, too. Don't worry about what that man is doing over there. Don't worry about the other guy. You worry about yourself. Stay in your lane. And as long as you do that, they'll be watching you. Don't watch them. They'll be watching you. So I tell anybody young, just stay in your lane. Be who you be, the best person you could be, and walk in love one towards another.
All right. Give me everything that's out there. Promote yourself. You got to go ahead. You got a whole minute to promote everything you got going. Everything.
Okay. Well, first of all, Sweet Sounds of Praise every Sunday. I want to thank Sister Gwen, like I do every Sunday. Brother AJ, our super producer, Big Earn, and myself. Join us every Sunday on Sweet Sounds of Praise. Also, the Electric Drum and Wine, everybody. That's my first love, WIBC. Then my station, WJRG, we have a 24-hour gospel internet radio station I'm excited about. You can go to WJRGradio.com or download the app or on your Apple or your Play Store. Also, the television network. We do sports. I'm going to get you on the show, Brother Jose. We're going to talk sports and get Juan up there. And we're going to have a sports show on the television network again on Roku, Amazon Prime, and just enjoy what I'm doing. Gospel Fest, the award show. We're doing a toy drive on the 21st of December in West Haven, giving toys to the needy children in the community. So I just thank God. I want to thank God for my wife once again for 39 years for putting up with me. You know, it's not easy being a wife and being married to me because I'm always on the go doing something. And, you know, but she's right there with me. So I got to thank my wife, Doreen. And my mom's in South Carolina, and my family, my son Jerry, my daughter Nikki, and everybody.
There you go. Like you talk like you've done it before. Very well done. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, Brother Jose. God bless you, man.
This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelar, and we just had a very delightful conversation with the legend himself, living legend, Jerry Green, and like always to the general public, thank you for listening.